Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go.
All right, welcome back, Fairway Fit fans. We are back. We are here with Greg, Brad, and we are here to talk about the summer season that is about to begin. And actually, it has begun.
Today.
We have started today. We are pumped about it. We are going to go over what we are planning here for our summer. Both of us, our work schedule is going to get a little bit less over the next 10 weeks. And we are going to really start putting our competitive nature back together as we got a 10-week competition. But before we get to that, Greg, how are things going? It's been about, I don't know, about 10 days, 14 days since we last talked on air. Let everybody know how you've been doing.
I've been busy working on my golf game, and I've bought in probably more than I ever have in my life on golf. I've been dropping the kids early, going to the range pretty much 5 days a week. I've been putting in the morning. I've been hitting balls in the afternoon on top of still staying with my workouts as far as even more so hitting golf related workouts, as far as trying to build power, trying to build explosiveness, trying to build like smooth swing power type stuff. And it's been paying off on the range. I will say that it's been paying off on the range. I feel that like super confident when I'm on the range, and I'm hoping that it begins to start to translate to the course.
Let's break this catch up in half. What are you doing specifically fitness-wise in the gym? And then I'm going to touch base a little bit what I'm transitioning to, because I don't have the access I've had all year starting today. So what are we doing fitness-wise to get yourself better, I guess?
The thing in the world is I live a mile and a half away from the school that I teach and coach at. I still run practices pretty much year-round, so I'll have 24-hour access to my gym throughout the entirety of the summer. So I'm not really losing anything when it comes to access to equipment or facilities. But big thing is I'm still like still hitting my leg days, basically a lot of squats, a lot of deadlifts, clean snatches, kettlebell swings, heel elevated, goblet squats. I've been doing a lot of like rear extensions on the GHD rack to try and just basically strengthen up that lower back. A golf swing, a lot of people have a tendency to have that back nine start to tighten up and can't really swing through a ball due to lower back pain. So I'm trying to make sure that like my back is in shape and perfectly fine to endure an entire round, 36 holes, whatever we want to play that day. Another big thing that I'm doing is a lot of like unilateral movements with dumbbells, upper body. Just trying to make sure that like my strength and stability, my shoulders and my upper body are still there. I'm being a old school guy. I am shying away from barbell bench. About to be 42 years old. My wife has yet to ask me in the 12 years that we have known each other what my bench max is. There's really no point in it.
Yeah, but I ask you once a week.
Still probably about 225.
There we go.
But actually, maybe Mac. Yeah, maybe 45. I bet I could throw that up. But if Dr. Milk's listening, please, I've stuck to the 10 to 12 rep range that you've usually prescribed me. But another thing that I've incorporated is a lot of golf-specific workouts or exercises each day, whether it be just like mobility-type exercises, but a lot of like core stability. I do a lot of pal-off press rotations where it almost mimics a baseball swing, if you will, but a straight arm, but just really focusing on core rotation and really activating the core. I've done med ball throws. I've done head ball slams. Like you've probably seen Scotty Scheffler do these a lot, where he mimics a golf swing with the med ball throwing it down towards the ground in front of him.
Yeah, there's all kinds of variation in med ball swings that I've tried to incorporate as well, too.
Yeah, and those have one of them that has actually really helped me with dropping my hands at the top of my swing rather than coming over the top would be the med ball swing or med ball slam that is incorporated to basically stand in your stance, little staggered stance. I'm a right-handed golfer, so I set up as if I was going to try and hit a draw with that staggered stance, bringing the med ball back to shoulder height, and then I'm trying to actually slam the ball behind my right foot, not actually like in front of my body at all. So it just gets me into that like muscle memory of dropping my hands at the top of my swing first rather than coming over the top. I think that's really translated well into my practice sessions, because I feel like I'm no longer coming over the top really, and I'm no longer coming across the ball and hitting it far right. Actually, if anything, I'm like we've talked the other day, I feel like sometimes I actually basically overdraw the ball. But those type of exercises, I've been doing a lot of explosive, like plyometric type exercises. There's a lot of box jumps, a lot of basically jumping and landing type stuff. I was working on balancing, like being able to jump, do a 180, land it, and hold that position. So that I work on that stability aspect of a golf swing. And other things are just a lot of core rotation, like I said. I've been working on resistance band, backswing, and dropping my hips, trying to disassociate my upper body from my lower body so that I'm just more so incorporating movement concepts of a golf swing into my weight training. It's trying to do a little bit each and every day on top of what I normally do to just build strength overall and stay in shape overall, but still have having that golf focus to it.
Does anything help you with your rotational? I know last time we were on air, we talked a little bit, maybe the lack of rotation in your swing. Have you seen some increase over the last, I don't know, 10 days or so?
Yes. I feel that basically now, especially doing some mobility work, I feel like my shoulder turn is actually a lot better. I feel like I've actually been able to disassociate my lower body from my upper body and have that right leg drive my hip back and turn my hips as I'm closing that shoulder. So it's not just an all arm swing. I actually have began to swing very easy, I guess you can say. I feel like I'm not swinging hard, but I'm just allowing bigger muscles to work and work in kind of transition. And
I'm going to flip you on that. You're not letting bigger muscles work. You're actually letting your smaller muscles lead your bigger muscles. It's the same thing I tell my kids in baseball. If you swing hard, you tighten up, your big muscles move slow. If you swing quick, it's your little muscles that are overtaking, pushing those up bigger muscles through. And there's going to be the same power that comes off with club speed and everything from there. So I 100% get what you're saying. I'm telling my 9-year-olds that I'm coaching exact same thing. You know, well, was it hard and fast? Ask the same thing. Oh, no, it's actually not. If you swing hard, you get tight. If you get tight, you can't throw.
The biggest differences that I feel in my golf swing now is I don't swing hard anymore, but the quickness of my swing is still there, and I'm actually hitting the ball anywhere between 5 and 10 yards further than I was before.
I love it. Love it.
15 with the 5-iron.
I love it. Yeah. I seem to hit it very well on the range when it's downwind than when it's into my face. I don't understand. I even had a guy yesterday. He's like, hitting 4-iron. I was like, no, it's actually my 5-iron. Kind of chest out a little bit there. Made me feel good about myself. So
it's like me hitting a 3-hybrid over a guy's driver.
Yeah, the guy was 65.
Nah, he was actually 55. He was a young guy with kids in college and stuff. He's still a spring chicken in my world.
55. Yeah.
I felt like Brad when I used to hit a driver 225 and then you would hit your 3-hybrid over me and get frustrated as all get out because I was technically stronger than you at the time.
Yeah. So I'm definitely the opposite when it comes to availability. I have to switch back and go more into the home gym that my wife and I work out in the basement. We're big TRX people. We're big dumbbells, different things, body weight exercises. And as I told you earlier, I even added in a weighted vest today to my workout and run, which I don't know if I'll run a lot with it moving forward, but definitely keep it on for my workouts, different things. But I will probably...
You're going to take the weighted vest to the range and hit balls in it?
No.
That would be something scary to see if you were warming up with a weighted vest and I was playing you and then you took it off. You'd be like, oh, this guy's going to hit the ball. Wow.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that. Would be funny though. But no, so I have to keep up my workouts. I haven't gotten to the routine of what I am doing yet, but I'll figure it out. I actually like to run more in the summer when I'm off. It really helps me, keeps the weight down, which I've always been trying to do, especially in the last almost pushing 2 years now. Because August is not that far away, but 2 years now. So a lot of different things. I use med balls. We have lightweight dumbbells. We'll increase a lot of body weight reps, increase reps, go up different things, do a little bit more HIIT workouts, different things, plyos. We got a box now. We're doing quite a few different things. So not anything set in stone yet, but I do a lot of that rotational stuff. And I'm the same as you. The ball just seems to be jumping. Now, obviously, I got to keep hitting the center of the club for. But one thing I've noticed more is my miss hit. And it's not just, I don't think it's obviously just clubs, but when I miss hit something off the toe, instead of it dying on me, I'm still getting closer to the yardage that I'm getting to. And I think you can even tell when we play, I have these miss hits, but I'm actually still hitting greens on par threes or even my approaches on the par fours to where, all right, I'm on the green and I can, I'm not making birdies or I'm not, you know, picking up shots. But honestly, where I'm playing, a par is sometimes just as good as picking up a shot like a birdie. So being able to knock that out with a two putt, an easy two putt, and kind of, they say those no pressure pars are no stress pars, which is really has been going well for me.
I'm having some similar type stuff where my miss hits now, I can feel them even more thing, but then I'm like, oh, that's actually not turning out as bad as I thought it was going to be. Like, I might be 5-10 yards short, but I'm not slicing it into the woods or anything like that. So I think that basically a lot of the swing plane training that I've been doing, like with those med balls and stuff, is actually helping me. Like, I'm probably just catching the middle of the face, the center of the club, a lot more, and that's why I'm getting the distances gained that I'm getting right now, because I'm even noticing it with my wedges, where a quarter swing now from 60 yards is now going 70.
And I'm right. Like, now,
I need to adjust this now.
I just think, honestly, fitness leads to better swing path. A better swing path leads to more contact, better contact. And you're just having more, you're able to control your swing for more reps. And just 2 weeks ago, we played back-to-back 36 whole days, and I never even once was fatigued at all. It was almost like, hey, I could do 9 more, or I could do 20 or 18 more. And so I think
I had to go buy more balls.
But I think that's the biggest thing, is in putting the reps in at the range. One thing they talk about with driver speeds and when you're getting clubhead speed is go out and hit 45 minutes of just driver. And it's because you're going to get fatigued and you're going to start strengthening that swing in that path and get that more consistent for a longer basis. So now in a round where you have to play 18, or for some reason you're playing more than 18, you're not fatigued and you're still having that club head speed on hole 18 that you had on hole one. And I'm definitely feeling a difference. I go out and I walk a little bit more too. And you've played out here with me. It's not your straight flat course. I live in Round Hill for a reason.
Opposite.
It really is.
Hills on hills.
It's weird. As I always say, it started at the front, and then it's all downhill on the back side of the front nine, and then it's the start of the back, and then it seems to be all downhill, easy tracks.
Two courses I would not want to walk. Yours is the second one. The number one course, that would be Patung Shores.
I've only played it that one time with you.
But it's just long in between each hole. It's hilly.
Yeah, it does make a difference. I ran enough events at the high school level where we tried to have even parts ready for just moving kids between greens to tees. It does make a big difference. There's quite a few, actually, in Loudon that you wouldn't want to do just for that. It's not even the undulation of the course. It's just a green to tee that takes forever to get there.
When I go on my little trip in July, when I go down to see my mom and dad and go to Disney and everything like that, yes, I'll have some access to the weight rooms, but I'll be right on that body weight, that calisthenic workout plan, just like you are. So we'll come up with something together.
Definitely.
Put it out to the people.
Definitely. I think that would be a big benefit. Just even if it's just 20, 25 minutes, it goes a long way. But what are you doing at the range? One time we talked about one time earlier in the year, we talked a lot about having a little bit more focus in our practices. I think that was one of my goals, was actually to make sure that when I go over there, I practice with a purpose. And I know for myself, when I go over there, I play with four wedges. And so I usually hit almost 100 shots with two of the four wedges. And then on the other day, I go to the range, or the next time I go to the range, I switch to two wedges. And I really work on pretty much three different shots. It's about a 50-75%, and it's a full shot. And I look for a target. I try to land in front of the target, at the target, over the target. And I try to keep going back and forth. I'll hit anywhere between 30 to 40 with one wedge, 30 to 40, and then I'll come back with the same one I started with and hit that. So I definitely have made a major focus. I will say it's probably right around 135, 140 and in. I can still get my pitching wedge a little further than that, but I don't probably hit that one as much as I do the gap, the sand wedge, and my lob wedge. So I know that's been a huge thing for me. Right now I'm struggling with the driver. I probably need to put more focus in the driver. I will say our range is driver max for me. And so I always feel like if I do get a hold of one, I'm actually hitting it onto the eighth hole, which is behind the driving range. I wish they would put a net up there.
Get that guy.
Yeah. Should have been standing there. I did see they had a tournament today, and they had the OB line was pretty well into the range, which has surprised me a little bit. So I don't always tend to hit a lot of drives. Now I will go to a corner and play like a across the range a little bit just because I can add a little bit more yardage there. But I fall in love with
nine.
And I fall in love with the wedges. I'd really just fall in love hitting my wedges a lot. But what is your plan? You go to the range now probably twice as much as I do because you're hitting your morning sessions. Yeah, what is your routine? What are you looking to do?
I'm hitting balls in the morning, but there's been plenty of days where I'll putt in the morning, say if there was a tournament going on that day and the range was poor, if the range was closed that day, I'd putt in the morning, and then I'd come back in the afternoon and hit balls. I actually don't enjoy hitting my wedges, per se. My 54 and 58 degree wedges. I don't like hitting them on the range because, like, really the only time that I do that is when I'm taking the last half of the bucket and I'm playing holes mentally where I'm switching clubs every single shot just to kind of make an actual round rather than just hitting 15, 20 pitching wedges in a row. I can do that with the same type thing, but if I have to have a different swing every single shot when I'm on a course, I like to cut that. So most of the time, I warm up with pitching wedge and hit 10 to 12 pitching wedges and kind of work my way up to, I'll jump to a 7-iron, I'll jump to a 5-iron, I'll jump to a hybrid, hit driver a little bit, and go through the first half of the bucket of balls with that. And just really picking a target, aligning myself to the target, and then really seeing how close I can get to it. And obviously, I'm getting more and more success with that as of late, where I'm not really just like, oh, I'm hitting 30 yards off target. I do that for the first half, and then the second half, I run through just mental holes. All right, I'm hitting the driver on this hole. I'm hitting a five iron, and then, or like, hitting a hybrid off the tee, and then I'm having a 9-iron in, and I'm having to put it right on that 150 mark, and that sign is the green, and I'm trying to get it as close to it as possible. So I'm trying to mentally put unreal pressure on each shot where I'm not just sitting there being like, oh, I'm hitting. Have I had range sessions where I've sat there and hit 60 straight drivers? Yes. Have I had a range session where I hit, I think it was 87 pitching wedges in a row? And I think I texted you this after. I don't know if I sent you a picture of it, though, but the hosel of my pitching wedge was so beat up. I think I told you right now at that day, I was like, I have no clue what I'm doing. Everything was
right. I do remember.
I was like, everything was great yesterday, and I came in and I have the shanks today, and I don't get it. But I like taking my 54 and 58 and throwing balls all around, like, the pitching area at my facility. It's a gorgeous facility. No, it's just a run-of-the-mill muni. But
yeah, yours is fine. No, I do the same. Not to cut you off, but I do the same. I do have those days where it's chipping, I mean, that I do focus on. I like to do that, honestly, on Mondays when our range is closed. I actually try to chip and putt and then go play, like, practice holes. So I guess I am doing very similar things to you. I know our situation's a little bit different, but I'll go out there and play a couple balls on each hole, just looking at different shot. I've played my course so many times now, I know where I'm missing to. A lot of times where my misses is, obviously there's always this weird shot that I tend to every couple holes as well too, but on the yardages and the differences. And I also really learning on where to miss on the green. Number two at my course, it's a horseshoe with a bowl in the middle, and depending is, and I'll actually try to hit to where I'm, because I can't see my landing spot, which is pretty much 14 of my 18 holes. I have blind shots. I try to hit to the back of the green and learn that distance in different places as well. So we're doing the same thing. You're just doing it more to a target on the range where I actually get out a little bit. And I really only do that when the course is closed, because I always feel like there's not as many people there.
Your range, don't you?
Mounds.
Yeah.
Like where the ball?
There's not just signs.
Yeah, no. So it's a pole. It's a pole, and it seems to be sitting on a mound. Yeah. And I play the game, you know, you want to be within like 10 feet either side. And I tried to narrow down each side when I'm trying to come in from and different things. But
I remember when I worked at Lowe's Island back before it was Trump, when you pick the range and you had to get out of the picker to walk up on those mounds and like just take a 9-iron and just chip all the balls off. And the amount of guys that would just start peppering me with the fact that I was never hit is a shocker, but like, I probably would have gotten fired in a minute. I probably would have just drove the range picker right up to the guy and just hit him with the 9-iron. But
yeah, I've done
ice cubes.
I've done, and then come back later on with the pitching wedge. Done the range work as well too when I worked at a golf course, and people like to take aim at you, and you just kind of, you can't be shocked. Although it is a little bit frustrating, but yeah.
When it's like 210 now, if I can hit a moving target at 210, that's pretty darn good.
just go to my right. I'll cut one over there some sooner or later. Catch it a little thin. But yeah, so it sounds like we're putting in good work. I do know on our, when we get the website up and running, we're going to have some definitely workout stuff for people. We also have easy practice templates. Obviously, everyone's different. Everyone needs to find what works from that. But we have some practice templates that we'll have up there as well. Hoping, fingers are still crossed, that we're getting that stuff finalized. And we'll definitely let everybody know when it goes out. But check us out on Instagram. Check us out on Twitter, formerly known as Twitter. And we do try to post a couple things that we're doing as well. We need to do a little bit more, but we'll be out there to keep checking us out. Just follow, subscribe, so make sure you get anything that we get out there. But man, the summer season, right? Let's talk summer season.
I've been more excited to be an 18 in my life.
I can't go on without saying that I have a good 3-0 lead in our competition, in our 7-point basically competition that we got going. But this is the one that really can jumpstart you. And one thing we've been talking about, we're going to have a summer season. We're going to make sure that it has some sort of contest to it. And we're going to narrow down our rules. But let's do that. So we're going to start, obviously, this week. July 17th runs all the way through the week of August 19th. That gives us 10 weeks of competition. Now, we're both traveling. We don't live that close together where we could get out every single day. So how it's going to work is that we're going to take our first round of the week and we are going to compare our scores to see who takes home the week. All right, net scores. And I tried to think of different ways to make sure that works. And I really just, regardless, we'll throw out rating, we'll throw out slope. On the courses, and we're just going to have to go off our net scores almost head to head from that, which is fine. And
it really, we'll say this, I'm going to be, when I'm down in Florida, the place we're staying has an RTJ course, a Norman course, and some other course there. So I might be playing at a 20 again at the house.
Now, if you're playing well down there, like you should, you'll be getting down further and a lot faster than you were. But it's no different than me going down to the Dad, where it's Norman, Love, Die at the same time. So we know we're going to be playing some nice stuff over the summer. We're playing, although I do think my course is more challenging than maybe your home course. I don't think the rating is actually all that far different. I think it's only like a 1 or 2 point difference. So I don't think it's going to really, it's too much difference just to say that we'll go off our scores and play from there. But I want to do it in more like a point system. So let's run down what I got as an idea and we can agree on it. Obviously, we're going to go by points. And I think we need to do it in a way that if somebody gets down, then we could always maybe come back and take a lead in different things.
Push,
or I called it a different couple different things.
Double down on this round.
Double down, yeah, yes. I think the first 5 weeks, we're basically playing for a point, and then the second 5 weeks, we'll make it double. So every round is 2 points, so you could double it up, right? During that time, you can give what I called, because we're sports people, and I was trying to think of the best way to do it, you could throw up a Hail Mary, all right? Okay. And the Hail Mary can double the points for that week. And so the Hail Mary has to be called at 2 different times. It obviously has to be called either after the round you played, or you can go crazy, just like in Wolf, and you can play blind. You can do a blind Hail Mary before you play your round to earn more points. So if you do a Hail Mary, then it's worth double the amount of points, all right? You do a blind Hail Mary, it'll be worth triple the amount of points.
Ooh.
Right, but here's the catch. If we both call Hail Mary, and obviously, in a regular one, it's going to be worth quadruple the amount of points. And if we both call blind Hail Mary, it'll be worth 6 times the amount of points. So I'm going to have to write that down. We'll keep track. We'll keep track. We'll actually put it up we'll have it up to a link on our site once it gets going and everything to keep us going from there. But yeah, so it's going to basically give somebody say you jump out to a 3-week lead. It's going to be able to come back in where I can play it. Now, the only thing I think we really need to decide on, I don't think it's fair to say you can throw out 10 Hail Marys and try to come back. So I get my
summer swing going.
So I would say I think we both get 2 of them.
Okay. I like that. How many? And just how about 2 Hail Marys, 1 blind Hail Mary?
So I think if you want to throw both of yours blind, you can do that.
Because
you got to remember.
Be called prior to the first tee shot.
So yes, a Hail Mary will be basically, if we do a scorecard reading, because we're going to have to do this weekly, we'll jump back on here weekly. We'll do a scorecard reading and say, hey, you just beat me 4 4 straight weeks and I'm going to say, hey, I'm going blind. All right. And that's going to be able to give me 6 times the amount for week 5. So I would end up winning 6 points. I would actually take a 6-4 lead on you there.
So I can't call it like 30 seconds before my tee shot, considering I usually show up about a minute and a half before my first tee shot. I call it on air.
I don't think you have to call it on air. I think somehow you got to let me know that you're going blind. And then that's the other thing too, is I know you live score everything. So you might not want to live.
I think if you're playing when I'm playing, I'm not live scoring it.
I would say don't live score that round. Just keep your scorecard, put it in after we
mind that I love live betting on my rounds that are going to be very disappointed.
You can do that, but you can also start a live round. Like you can do the exact same thing I do. Take your scorecard. You memorize every shot you took, because I actually put clubs and distances in mine. So you can.
I did notice you were doing that.
Yeah. So you can do the exact same thing. Just do it at 9:30 at night and do it the fastest round you've ever played in 15 minutes.
I'm super disappointed.
Right. Whatever. No, I wouldn't be disappointed.
Or super happy. Or super
yeah. Yeah. But you know what I think,
but you know what sucks is if I record an ace, you're not going to get that little notification on your phone that Greg just recorded an ace on the whole par 3 at South Riding.
Agreed. But so that was other things too I wanted to add. Do we put in like bonus points? Do you want to say, you know,
if I have a hole in one, the point for that week, I'm going to be so bitter.
Yeah. So like let's throw that there. If you get an ace, you get 5 bonus points, 4 bonus points. Five weeks of winning. Okay.
Five is good.
Right. I'm okay with that.
In our Stableford, I think it was like 20.
So short story is that Brian listened to that episode and he goes, he wished he could have called in and gave me the history of the Stableford system. And I was like, thanks, bud. I love you, but we made our own. We were rolling with it. But now he's enjoyed listening to everything.
It's kind of our rubrics.
All right. So here's another one. And we got to figure out what is fair. Sub 85 round for you. Does that give you a bonus point?
For now, yes.
For now.
I just shot the round of my...
I understand that, but sub 85, I
get a point.
You get a bonus point.
Yes, a bonus point. If I win the week, I had a hole in one, and I shot below 85, that's a 7-point match.
All right, so before we go into these extra bonus points...
What ifs?
Not what ifs. They're going to happen. I'm just trying to make sure this is fair. We talked about everything being 1 point, okay?
I know, but if I...
We've never bet that way. We're always a 5-5-5.
It is true.
So do we...
That's when we're right next to each other and we're just...
Okay, all right. Let's go back. Head-to-head rounds. Are they worth more?
No, because there's just going to be side bets on there. There's going to be money bets placed on... I don't know. Can say that we legally gamble on the golf?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see why not. I'm of age.
Gentleman's bet.
I'm of age. We have gambling apps in our state. We have gambling apps. All right. So if you're getting sub 85, do I get sub 75?
No, because you've had
one.
How many 76s have you had, though?
That one, a couple.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's not sub 75.
I will give you
one.
Your par 72 at
74?
74.
Okay.
Sub 74.
Sub 74.
I'll give you 74 or below. You get an extra point.
Well, that's what sub 74 is.
No, 74 or below.
Yeah. Okay.
Sub 74 would be 73.
Well, I'm thinking sub 85 is 85 and below. So let's go back. When I said sub 75, I was actually right. Okay. So I get one bonus for that. You can have a bonus point too if you get sub 74. No problem.
We get an extra bonus point?
Sure.
If I have a 70s round, I get a 2.
That's next. If you have a 70s round, which is a goal of us, of yours, all right?
It was one of my number one goals.
I know. 3 points?
I said 2 extra bonus points. So
you said 2.
3 point bonus.
70s. 2 points, you said. 3. I like 3.
That's what I meant. 2-point bonus from the 85. So that would be a 3-point bonus total.
We'll just say 3 because that makes more sense to me. All right. So then mine's 72. Then mine would be 72.
If you shoot par or better, you get an extra 2 points, yes.
All right. I'll have to...
I expect a spreadsheet by tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I don't know about tomorrow morning, but yeah, I'm going to have to do that. That'd be 3 points. Okay. Is there anything else we need to add outside of a calculator? All right. No, of course. What'd you say? Did you have one?
You could easily come up with a little Excel spreadsheet with some formulas in there. I think we know a math guy that can do that for us.
We don't need him. We don't need him. But we do. And then, of course, our standard rules. No touching of the hair or face. No kicking to the groin. No cheap shots.
My hamstrings.
Shout out to Billy. Don't touch my hamstrings. I wanted a little bit more story on that, but I definitely didn't speak up.
I do want to know the origination of that. But
yeah.
He said it is a family thing. Like his kids and his wife and everybody knows about it.
But it's just for him. It's not.
Yes, obviously. But
all right. So we're no hairs or face, no hamstrings. That's 1 and 2. Everything else is pretty much standard to our fighting rules. All right. I'm excited. I do think we have a possibility. I know for you, you're getting round number one tomorrow. And then there's a potential I will as well. Otherwise, I probably won't have mine until Wednesday. So 2 days from now. Be prepared for the heat. It is hot. Walking was a little bit tougher. I might have to make sure I get carts for the summer. It was a lot today when I went out there just for my 6 holes until I was called off the course. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. The only other thing I think we need to look at is, do we make, since we're putting this much into the summer season, do we make this season more than just one point of our World Series of Golf? So we have this 5 majors, the summer season, and then, of course, the lowering of the handicap for a point. Do we want to make this worth 2 points? And then I understand that would make it would be our World Series. Or do we want to make this worth 3 points, which again, making it 9, because our majors won't take place again until after the summer season.
Really, the only way you could really break it down with it being 10 weeks would be to make it 5. It's either 1 point or it's 5.
So it'd be out of 11?
You would get a half a point every single week that you win for a total of 5 points possible.
Oh, so you're given, so almost like a Ryder Cup format, you want half points. I was thinking if you win the summer season, you get, that's just it, that's your point. So if you win the summer season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, basically, if you win the summer season, you get 1 point. But there's plenty of points out there that, like, if I lose the first 2 weeks, but then I throw a Hail Mary and I do a blind Hail Mary.
Yeah, so I don't think in the 10 weeks where we can tie. We have too many too many side things going on. When I have two aces this year, so it's going to just put me right over.
Just leave it as one. That way, you're not too bent out of shape when I take an early lead and you know you still have your blinds and your Hail Marys in there. And you have the possibility of having an ace.
Possibility of having an ace. All right. Might have a better chance at 74 than an ace.
Yeah, I came 2 inches away from slam dunking one on Sunday. Because I did at the ball mark where my ball was. And unfortunately, it hit and then spun down the hill about 10 feet.
I have been pretty lucky.
I looked at the ball mark and it was about 2 inches from just going right in.
I have been pretty lucky on the range. I've been hitting the pole like one time range session, which is harder than you sound. Now, I know it's big, thicker than a flag stick, but I would be lying to you if I said some of them were just thin 4 irons that I hit, and it's the pole that's 25 feet in front of me. But it just got in the way. All right. So I think we're set. We will get back on here, and we will have maybe...
We have to, like, publish something that every single person that's listening to this just went cross-eyed.
Yeah, no.
We'll publish it. We'll put it out on Twitter and Instagram of the official rules of the summer season. That way, if you want to challenge your buddy to another one as well... We can get comments on it of other people doing it. So I think we'll publish the rule.
Yeah, I'm all about it. So I will work on getting that done sooner than later, whatever it might be.
Written up.
I do have some young ones that like tech stuff. So this could be their project to get on Google Sheets and knock something out for us.
Project.
There you go. Dude, I'm excited. To get going. I hope I feel better than I physically do right now. The knees are hurting a little bit, but a new day tomorrow. Get ourselves going. And so we'll touch back in a couple of days and we'll see how it goes. Good luck to you.
Need luck.
All right. After Greg and I finally settled things about the summer season, we got back the next day after our first round. Greg, welcome back. Have you cooled off from the hot weather today?
Yeah, I came home and spent some time inside playing with the kids. Finally got a shower. My daughter said I smelled good afterwards. I think that's a bonus.
It is a bonus. I was able to come home and headed right to a baseball tryout, so I just got my shower in as well. But for those who have listened earlier, we were able to slide out today, and we played our first summer season match of the summer. I don't know about any better way to say that, of the summer. Our first match of the summer season. Maybe that comes off a little bit better that way. I know we talked briefly yesterday as we did record. We talked about maybe I was able to slide over to South Riding, your home course, and it worked out. We had a matchup. We were able to get over there. It was hot. I'm with you. I didn't think it was unbearable hot. I actually thought it was hotter later after the round than it was.
Yeah, it got hot later on.
I think we had a nice breeze all day. The breeze was pretty challenging, but let's do a quick recap of our round today. Playing over at South Riding, we actually ran into a good friend of ours that was able to join us for our round.
He left probably about 150 balls sitting on the range to come play too.
I noticed that because
he's a too large bucket guy.
It's a lot of balls.
It is.
A lot of balls. Again, I'm a let's go bucket then nine holes type player. But
yeah. Let's talk about our round. We went into it with the start of our summer season. We were going in head to head. We were playing off of our handicaps and joined to see how we did. I know we went in there. We quickly got to the first tee after our warm up and we decided to play the, what did you call it? The tournament tees.
Yeah, we ended up playing blues today.
The blues. So it's not the tips. It's not the championship tee. So we were playing one up. I think it was registering 400
about
six, yards.
About 65. It was 6470.
6470. But I would say the course played a lot shorter than that.
Yeah.
Due to the conditions, the ball was rolling out on the fairways quite firm. I thought overall, course-wise today, that was probably one of the more challenging South Riding layouts I've played in a while. Again, I don't 100% know why, outside of it just being hot and the ball was going a little bit further. I didn't think the wind was too bad. It was a couple shots here and there that we actually had to ride the wind or play against the wind. But for some reason, I didn't think I could hold greens very well. Balls are rolling. One hop, one bounce on the green was just seemed to be rolling out.
Couldn't get anything to bite today.
No, and I don't. Now, it's been, hasn't been that long since I played there, but I guess I just didn't remember the greens being so big and undulated. I felt like, I don't know if it was just maybe pin placements were tougher today, but the greens were big and you were staring 30, 40 foot putt on what I thought weren't terrible shots coming into pin placements. Not a lot of clown's mouth putts where you're playing out like an 8 foot break, but I felt like it was just hard enough to where three putts came into play. I know I had a couple three putts.
I started the round with a four putt.
Yeah, you did. You did start around the four putts. Well, let's break it down. I know when we teed it up in our Grint apps today, which I'm going to pull my Grint app up.
Already got it up.
Okay, so you're already ready ahead of the game on me. It had me playing at a 6 handicap. What were you playing at today?
Unbearable, rather embarrassing 22.
But you're not a 22. Why did it have you so much adjusted?
I'm an 18 and it adjusted me to a 22 there.
Yeah. I remember you showing me that on one and I was like, whoa. Like I did the quick math. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to be about 80. If I don't shoot 80 today, I'm done.
A couple hours later, I basically said, hold my beer and showed you that I needed every single one of them.
Yeah. No, you did. You did. You had some tough holes. But let's go quickly. I don't think we really want to go hole by hole.
Shot by shot, for sure.
And I don't think we want to do this for the next 10 weeks going hole by hole, but let's go ahead and look at our front nine scores. Why don't you start it off? Let's go fairways, greens, putts, and then your front nine score.
Front nine score, just broken down. I shot a 50 on the front. I hit one fairway, and I had a total of 18 putts, four of which came on the first, and I hit 0% greens and right.
0%. I know you did. I know you shot 50 or 51. Was it 50? So you shot a 50, but I know one was a little bit bigger of a score. What'd you get on one? You got a double, right?
I went triple, double, bogey, par, double, triple, double. Now I bogeyed that. And then I parred nine again. So I had two pars. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I felt like you did not hit. No, we both had a blow up hole, which was, it was pretty much, we were trying to see if you get the highest score on the hole. And I think I took triple and did you take triple on six as well too?
On six, I doubled.
You doubled.
I re-teed and then bombed and I tried the driver to play and chipped it on, yeah. Two putted and bogeyed.
Okay.
I'm sorry, bogeyed that ball.
Parred that ball. But yeah, you parred the second ball, right? That would have been a par.
Yeah, you're right.
Did not. I was left and then I tried to punch a knife. Remember I skidded one up the anyway. Yes. So I don't remember you shooting that poorly. If I went through my head shot for shot, you did have some shots that cost you. But the course was tougher on the front, I definitely think. I started off, I thought I was going to be playing pretty solid. Started off par, and then I ended up just making some, I don't know. I don't want to say I got bad breaks. I just wasn't locked in as much. And I ended my round with 19. How many putts did you have?
18 on the front.
18. So I had 19.
I had a couple of fringe benefits.
That's okay. It is what it is. I was 2 for 7 on the fairways, and I was 44% green. So I hit 1, 2, 3, 4 greens in regulation. And I shot a 45. So quickly, if I was playing a 6, I needed 3 shots, so 42, and you were a 11 on the front, so you were a 39. So you had a 3-shot lead going in after the front 9. So I was already losing by 3 shots, but I was also losing $5 because we're 5-5-5.
That is true.
Pretty consistently.
First front 9 I've won in a long time.
For me, I just had some stupid mistakes. Didn't get off the tee one time. Didn't get off the tee 2 times. 2 bad tee shots cost me a double to triple. And then I would say my bogeys that I did, I ended up having 4 bogeys on the front, a double and a triple. But my bogeys were just careless mistakes from not terrible shots, but I never got up and down. I just didn't get up and down. And it's just the kind of way it was. Even after my first double, my first bad drive, I did hit a nice 6-iron and I ended up 3 putting that hole. And that just, I don't know, it kind of snowballed for the next couple holes. But I did hit play 9 fairly well. And I think I remember I turned to you and I said, I think you either said you got a lot of golf left. And I was like, well, I'm already chasing you, but I'm going to shoot 2 under on the back. So you better get going. And I will say I did turn my back around quite a bit. Still had some weird shots. But since you are up 3 shots, let's go ahead. And I don't want to necessarily go hole by hole, but what did you do? Let's just go on the back. What did you do on the back? What didn't you do?
Probably more so what didn't I do, which is card a par. I went bogey after a bomb drive, hit the next shot out of bounds, went bogey, triple, bogey, double, triple, coming in. I hit one fairway. I hit 0 greens and reg. And looks like I had a total of 9 penalty strokes in the back.
Ooh. 9 drops.
Yeah. 9 penalty shots. So dropping 2, hitting 3. That was happening a lot. I will say that as much as Billy was saying it, I didn't really think about it because I was just frustrated as all get out on the court. But after the 4 putt on 1, I did not 3 putt the rest of the round.
How many putts do you have on the back?
16.
Okay.
Went 2-2-2-2-2-2-2-1-1-2.
Yeah, I mean, think overall, you did roll it. You did, when he started saying it, you did roll in some, like, I don't think they were bombs, but I think they were like your 5-8 footers that you were definitely saving a handful of shots. And I think when anyone does, that's where the frustration kicks in, where I'm not putting well because you're rolling in and almost saving a trip.
I think if anything, probably putting was the only thing I did decently today.
Yeah, greens were weird. I'm not going to say they were fast. They definitely weren't low. They were actually a little furry in spots. I thought they zigzagged a little bit with it, but they were fine. I wouldn't put them in. They weren't bad by any means. They were definitely not the cause of our rounds or hurting our rounds. Now, I didn't make any putts, but I did turn it on a little bit on the back. I ended up having 3 bogeys, a birdie, and the rest pars, and I shot a 38. I wanted to go 2 under, ended it 2 over, 17 putts. I didn't make tremendous amount of putts. The only 1 putt I had on the back was when I actually hit to 4 feet, but I sucked it back to about 8 feet when I was on the fringe. So I thought I had a good look at birdie there. I just didn't make putts. I didn't. Everything was a tap in. I think I had 1 putt maybe outside of 3 feet that I made, and that was 4 feet. Other than that, 3 out of 7 fairways, I did hit 5 greens, and so I didn't get up and down at all. The one time I could say I got up and down was the 1 fringe putt. Other than that, I didn't get up and down all day, and that is the stat that has been probably the one that is keeping me from me moving forward in my goal to get that handicap down, is I just been struggling getting up and down completely. I actually listened to our most recent episode that is live right now. And that was the episode we went over the stats of what single digit handicap is at a 10 and then what is at a 3, and spot on what we're not doing. But I did end up with a net 77, which I believe
bested me by three. I ended up shooting 52 on the back of a course that I actually usually play the back better than I do the front. And I played it worse today. And I shot 102 total, net 80.
I was pleased with my back performance. I did turn it on a little bit there. The 2 holes that got me were those. Again, I think I told Billy, if you take these 2 holes and you put one on the front, one on the back, I'm perfectly fine with it. But when you have to come up and you're hitting irons off the tee on back-to-back par fours because you can't, there's nowhere to go. You run out and you go into the marsh or the wild area.
12 and 13 are definitely like placement shot holes.
And I actually wasn't even that bad off of the tee on those. I just ended up I missed the green, and it's what it is. I couldn't get up and down on those. I was once in the bunker, actually hit a decent bunker shot out. I think it was about 6 or 7 feet, and I just missed that putt. And then I don't actually remember the other one, but
something I've always noticed about those holes is the tee boxes always point you to the left as well.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Like I said, I don't mind holes. I don't think they're bad holes. I know courses are made for the tips, and I think on 13, I actually looked back and I was like, you know what? It's a whole different shot back there.
Oh yeah, back in that little like, cutout of woods.
I didn't necessarily pay attention to where 12's tee shot was, but 13's was actually cut back. Where, all right, you're hitting hybrid 3-wood, maybe even hitting driver, and had plenty of room to play with. It was a good 40, 50, 60 yard difference where just the one tee up where we were.
12, I always flirt with just, should I just bomb a driver?
Again, if you're going to drive, yeah, I'm with you.
I've forwarded out, I've done it a couple of times, and I've always felt like a jerk because most of the time,
I
hit a dead straight, and I like hit 20 yards to the right of, or 20 yards to the left of like, some old man that's just gotten in his cart and driving up to the green.
Now, especially in 11. I think 11 is more, not 11, 12. You can put it up there where you're closer to the green. 13, I've hit driver and I've been actually right of the stuff in rough, but end up being okay. Lots of times, scrambles. But yeah, I'm in and I had a sloppy bogey. I don't think you remember. I had a sloppy bogey on 15 where I hit a nice drive and I don't know what I did with the 8-iron. Just flanned there. Actually thought I hit a decent wedge shot. Again, didn't hold the green. Had a really ugly lie that I could have got a better shot on it, but I did it. I ended up hitting it back 12 feet past and missed the putt. A common theme. Just didn't knock any putts down. So yeah, so summer season off to a start. A hot start, as in the temperatures. Maybe not necessarily the way we played. I definitely saw a lot of promise from you. I know we haven't had many rounds. Actually, that's not true. We actually have played a lot of our rounds together. I haven't seen you since Gents Cup when we played our extra round there. Saw a lot of Greg back hitting the ball. Saw a lot of mistakes. I will say it was a little bit, giving 16 strokes made me like a little more cautious about, like, I didn't want to like, give you every tip in the world because it was a lot. Not that I didn't want to help you and not that I wasn't in the mood to do that. I wasn't playing great.
Competing.
And we're also competing a little bit. I would love to get out again and let's play golf, because I will tell you, and I think this is something I want to do here in the next 2-3 minutes. In this episode is to have a little bit of a truth talk where remember, we're not here to hurt feelings. We're here to see what we're trying to do to get better. And I need feedback for myself. I think you need some feedback. I think you always you like feedback. We're not scared to admit sometimes when we're wrong and we need to get better at things. But I will tell you, if there's the one thing that you need to do better on, you need to play and you need to not play so much golf swing. It will tell you that, because there's even a time today you hit 6-iron on a hole because you said that's my 185 easy stock shot and everything was not that shot. And you played golf swing opposed to feeling out the course, being on the course a little bit more than you have been, and just hitting what the course was giving you and taking you. And I think even on the par 5, the ball, you smoked down the middle. You had a little bit, I'm almost with this dead grass rough that was at South Riding. I felt like every ball out of the rough was a little bit of a flyer lie. And you were like 205 to the pin and you hit a 205 number. Instead of hitting a golf shot, you hit a golf swing and you hit it. It went way right. I actually didn't think you went as far as you actually did. I thought you were going to be fine. But when we got over there, obviously we couldn't find it. And I even turned to you and I said, I wish you would have rather have hit a 108-yard shot as hard as you could, because it was going to keep you in play. Worst case, you're short of the green and you're going to get up and down and go and have a chance for birdie. Worst case, parring that hole, where you played the stock number, the golf swing number, and you brought double in the play.
Yeah.
And that's the only way you get that is just being on the golf course. I think the time I talked about the 6-iron, I hit 8-iron and it was a 180 pin or 185 pin. And I hit 8-iron, which is like a 170 club. And I flew the green and I didn't really crush it. I was lucky to be where you were. Now, one thing I know that irritates you, and again, you're not going to hurt my feelings, there's a lot of times I hit shots that you think are lucky that I thin it and I still get away with it. But I will tell you is I play for my misses. And I know that's not the best thing. When I talk myself through my shots, because I do, and I think you like hearing that. I don't mind telling you that. Some people I play with, I keep my mouth closed. I talk myself through the shots knowing that, hey, if I miss it or if I do get it a touch thin, I'm going to be okay. And I think that's the difference right now for me saving rounds. Because even on the back, you can't sit here and say that I flushed everything. But I also shot a 38. I obviously knew where, if I did miss it, I knew what my miss was going to be. I play to the bigger part of the fairway. I play to the bigger middle of the greens. And even on the green, I left it in the bunker. I played to the middle of the green. I literally said, I want to start this at the flag and the wind should take it to the middle of the green. I started it right of the flag. It came back, not really. And I left it in the bunker. But when I got up there, I'm like, I clubbed down because I was trying to go after it a little bit with the draw. And I was like, you know what? If I would have hit the green, I probably would have got one bounce and I would have been like 12 feet. I wasn't upset with my bunker being in the bunker because I knew I had just missed the shot I was going to take. And I'm not flushing everything. I know my handicap's sitting at a 5. I still don't think of myself as a 5. Now that's a problem I have. I can't think of a player because I still put up these rounds where I salvage an 83, because that's what I did today. I shot 83, but I was 9 over on the front. Now, if I would have gone 40, 42, flushed it, couldn't make a putt, I would have been like, all right, that's an 83. I'm ecstatic with my 83 because I scored well.
And you righted the ship on the back nine.
But I righted it on the scorecard. I didn't necessarily right it on my golf swing. But the scorecard made my golf swing get better through the 9 holes. Right now, you're not doing that. That's what you're not doing. And I think
because if I sit there and think about what my miss is, I have more misses right now than I do working out the right way. I'm trying to go into it where, okay, yes, I'm still aiming for centers of greens and stuff like that, but I'm breaking out misses that are just god awfully bad.
Right. And I think I would say right now, if you had one thing that you needed to get better on, the ball off the tee. It's 100% the ball off the tee. And you're hitting driver. Now, I don't have a good example because the hole I told you not to hit driver on, yes, you went left. But I also turn around and in hybrid, basically chasing your ball into the tree. I think we went into the exact same tree.
And then I dropped and I put one 50 yards in the green.
I understand that, but why not hit hybrid?
Oh, I got you.
But that's the thing. So your stress on your shots are becoming because you're now in the middle of that fairway and you're trying to salvage a double bogey. So instead of going into that fairway, all right, one off the tee, I go to the middle of the green. If I miss hit it, this and that, I'm fine. I can get up and down and I'm making bogey. The problem is that you're making poor choices on your tee shot, which is putting you now in that middle of the fairway lane 4, where you're thinking you're hitting a bad second shot, but you're not making par on that ball because you're already 2 strokes down, when you're actually not hitting a bad shot and making bogey if you would have got off the tee better.
Yeah. Tee ball is always the nemesis of me.
But it's not. I disagree. I don't know. Your nemesis, yes. It's not the ball. I think it's 9 out of 10 times, I think, it's club selection. And you did pull hybrid a lot more today. And you started to get down. You started to get frustrated. And it was like, well, I'm just going to hit driver. If I'm going to hit it bad, I might as well hit my driver. I'm working on things. And literally, I want you to go out and play South Ryan tomorrow. And I don't want you to pull driver one time. And you're going to hit your best round of 24. Don't hit it one time. So, but I think you're close.
Wood? No.
Yeah, you can hit 3 wood. Although you never hit your 3 wood. So you're almost like me. Your 3 wood is like, you'd almost rather be 240, 245 off the tee instead of the 255 number with 3 wood.
Right. Just hybrid, I can hit it anywhere between 230.
Yeah, with the run out today, it was going. But I honestly think, and again, I'm not trying to hurt feelings, I would love to go over there and play. And honestly, I don't have to hit one shot. Just let me caddy for you, and I guarantee you, you'll have the best round of 2024. Which I know. Oh, that
we'll
that
see.
Hard.
I need to have my mechanics down first. Oh, had a couple of.
No, I don't think your mechanics is as far away as you think. I think your ball striking and your contact is good enough to put yourself in the mid low 80 round constantly, and then your confidence starts and you start throwing in a 70 here and there. Before you know it, you're sitting at that 9, 10, 11, 12 handicap number, which is the ultimate goal of us getting down there. Thought you putted it well enough. Your short game actually was better today. Now you won't admit it, but you didn't have your duff, your chunks that only went like 8 feet. You did, but it was after hitting the first ball off the tee out of bounds, you hit your second ball to that spot and you had to play it perfect.
No, I had the Duff on the par 3 7. I just tried to hit a little putter swing wedge to try and pop it down that hill so it didn't scoot like yours.
I didn't help because did I go first?
No, I went first.
I think you went first.
And then I duffed it to where you were.
I think you hopped over my ball, right. And then I hopped over your ball. But I think, so yeah, you're right. You got me a little bit on that one. But I think for the most of the time, your struggle off the tee is putting so much pressure on every other part of your game that we got to figure it out. And honestly, if you went out there and just hit five iron, I guarantee you could score better right now than you keep pulling the driver out and missing because your misses are big right now. I know golf analytics or whatever it may be, that one guy that does the 30-yard spread. So you're looking at a 60-yard spread off the tee. We're not 60 yards off the tee. We're probably closer to 90 yards right or left. Let's be all honest, because I'm struggling with the driver as well too. Although I did hit a couple good ones today, I'm still struggling with the confidence of it. I was more confident down at Kingsmill than I was today.
That was going to be point today.
In South Riding, it's not tight. It's not tight. The only one that I don't like hitting a driver on is the second par 5. I think it's number 3. Yeah. Just because the ground was so hard, it really does narrow on my line that I have to cut perfectly.
Right.
So it's like, all right, so hybrid there wasn't big. And I honestly, I sit back there. I should have gone hybrid and put myself up by the green because I hit my hybrid pretty well today. Into some tough spots. I know, yes, I drove the green on that one, but that was just a weird shot. But that's it. And so I would really, you just need to play golf. Like, I know you've done a lot of range stuff. I know time is thing, and I'm not knocking you, but I would love, instead of the range, hit your 10, 15 shots and go play 9 holes. Go drop the ball. Play one ball off the tee, drop two there, play it in, and play 2 or 3 balls around the green.
Plan Thursday and Friday.
4 days. In 14 days, I should be in trouble.
Just remember, next week's golf's going to be hard Monday through Friday.
Getting it in.
Yeah.
I agree. But you committed to the summer swing.
I might either send a text message when I'm in good old Lancaster, Pennsylvania this weekend and say this is my next week, or I just play a Saturday or Sunday round next week.
Yeah.
Which is already on the plan anyways.
You do stuff like that. Don't think that it has to be like, we'll make that work. But yeah.
The interesting ones is when you're going to be playing your home course and I'm going to be down playing like an RTJ or a Norman course down in Florida.
I put my home course up because I'm playing tomorrow. So I got a round tomorrow and I'm playing with the club champ. I'm playing with a three handicap. And I asked the commissioner to play as well. He's going to get back to me in the morning. But I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to bring my A game. Like, those guys don't have 83s. They just don't put that up. And I'm a little nervous. The sense is that I want to play well, but I also got to remember I'm not them. I got to play me. Do that. Gents Cup, I tried to play with the better player, which I need to not worry about. Just play with me.
Play with yourself.
Yeah. It is what it is, right? But yeah. So let's the recap, because I think we can beat this and I'm not going to cut you short. I know it's a truth talk. You talked about my driver. I don't disagree with you, but I know I wanted to hammer that home on you, but I don't want to extend our episode longer than we have because it's a little bit more than I thought we were going to
do. I just thought you were fast with your hands. That was the only reason why.
With my putter?
With your putter at times, yes, but with your driver, for some reason, your hands were super fast.
It seemed like you weren't allowing
the club to release. You were like basically putting the hands through the ball, like your hands were almost leading it. And I think that's why you kept on closing the face down and basically like hugging it over to the left.
Yeah. My misses just are so big with the driver. That's why if I could hit my hybrid 250 consistently, I don't need driver on a lot of holes. I don't think I hit hybrid and didn't have less than a 9 iron in.
Yeah. I could have hit hybrid on 10.
Yeah. I know it's not as fun as hitting driver, which I got to get better with. It's something I got to just go out and pound them and try to figure it out. I might go back to my guy Larry and see what's going on, but I'm not really sure about that yet either. But so summer season is off to a start. I have not completed our spreadsheet. I will work on that tomorrow.
You've only had about 18 hours.
I will get it done. And then on the week 2. So I took a 1-point lead coming off of week 1. We did not have any hole-in-ones. We did not have any eagles. We did not shoot sub 74s or
sub 85.
We got a little bit of work to do, but it was fun. I did enjoy it. And off to next week.
Yeah, buddy. More work to do.
All right. Talk to you then.